became director general of the BBC in January of 2000. In his 4 years at the BBC, he started 4 new digital television channels, 5 new digital radio channels, opened up 2 new BBC regions, launched the BBC's interactive television service, and created Preview, the new free-to-air digital platform. He also made major commitments to expand the BBC's education service and to improve the culture diversity at the workplace. He left the BBC in 2004, and from his own TV sitting controversial circumstances, following the report of the Hutton inquiry. Working for the Chancellor of the University of York in November 2004, in May 2005, he became chairman of Hoop, a production company specializing in programs for children under 5. In January 2006, he became chairman of Brentford Football Club. Before he also offered the title Great Dive Inside Boys for sponsored December 2004, and presented to the University of the Times to lead it. I welcome Greg Dunn. Greg, thanks for taking the time to be with us, and we're glad you can spend this time with you, of course.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me here today. You've done the background, so I don't have to do a face job with a program maker, who ended up running businesses almost by the state, quite enjoyed it. As you said, I left BBC in 2004 in a blaze of publicity. We can talk about that later. Our first stage has been digital terrestrial cable, and the possibility of switching off analog back in the early 90s. And I could see opportunity there. So I remember when it appeared in the big production company. And I commissioned at that time at some point. A major piece of research was based on one simple idea that we gave everybody in Britain 2 boxes and we turned off the animal signal overnight. And the interesting thing was, could you make a business model out of that? Could you fund the boxes, sell the spectrum, and make some money? The result wasn't conclusive, so it wasn't clear that it was an attractive enough business model. So we gave up on the idea. The work we did then, we did in the early 90s, was very interesting to me about 6 years later when I was Director General of the BBC and suddenly a new opportunity arose. The story of Preview got its origins back in that period, in the mid 90s, when the British government decided to adopt digital terrestrial television as one of the ways, along with digital satellite and digital cable, of enabling it to deliver a banner of quality of switching Britain digital and thus enabling Britain to switch off the analog signal. All of the political parties at the time saw DVD as an exciting new way of delivering digital television to the home, and the policy of switch off was first developed by the Conservative government in the mid-90s, but always under support of all the political parties, so it didn't change when Labour were elected in 1997 and were still in government. As the plans for DGG progressed, it was decided, and I understand the same is happening here in South Africa, that the existing broadcast, the BBC, ITV, Channel 4 and Channel 5, would be given gifted spectrum on the new system, which basically meant for every existing channel they had, they would get to a new channel. So ITV with 1 hour on channel got 2, but half the DGT spectrum that the BBC got with 2 channels. The rest of the DGT spectrum was then advertised, and the 2 largest ITV companies, Carlton and Granada, joined up with the biggest satellite, or the only satellite paper that was used to have been run by Rupert Murdoch, to feed for the new licenses. Their consortium called on Digital One, and they were going to set up a paper. They were going to print digital solution for a paper. What happened is things began to go wrong almost immediately. The European Commission warned that it was anti-competitive for BCIB to be part of the consortium because they dominated the satellite cable market. And what that meant for Granada and Carlton was that instead of having the most powerful pay television player inside on their semi the conclusion is that was the moment, one could argue, when Bernard and Carter made their crucial mistake. Instead of pulling out of that, it's quite hard to deal with you, by the way, even though you're an emotional police, which is one of the key advice that we've got to do, but instead of pulling out, they decided to compete head to head with BYB in the face of the Russian market. When BYB decided to start giving away expensive digital boxes for free, anybody who wants to sign up for the pay service, On Digital had no option but to do the same, even though they said couldn't afford it. And in one mad week in June 2000, both the Premier League, the Football League, and the FA were all sold. They went for enormous figures. And On Digital was in the name of fortune for the right to broadcast the Football League, the second leg, okay, the Premier League. And they literally paid four times what it was worth, what it was worth. So they were just throwing money around. But interestingly, what really killed them was that their technology didn't work. Simply wasn't robust enough. In their thing to cram what they're trying to do, they had two multiplexes, which roughly give them 8 to 12 channels. They just tried to cram 2 million channels on. And what they did was use a second-rate service technology tool. Initially, only about 50% of the population could get any sort of DVD picture. And because they crammed so many channels on, less than a third of hosts in Britain could get a clean, clear signal. I mean, it was ridiculous. In some homes, the picture was interrupted. The picture was interrupted by simple things like a bus going past the front door. Or you open the picture was interrupted by the opening and closing of the street door. They get to see it quite as a result of the technological problem, the number of people churning out of ICU have been persuaded, to get onto ICU issues, another on which the churn rate was actually meant that they weren't adding any more, like a couple of ideas. The original business plan predicted the maximum cash out before they started making, well, even started making money. The maximum cash out was going to be $350 million. After they'd lost $1.2 billion, they went back in early 2002. I mean, really, the company changed its name. The year before they went back from On Digital to ID Digital, which will go down as one of the worst branding decisions of all time. It's a brand new your other brand, ITV, that was a pre-work change that, and then there was a bar. In the autumn of 2009, it became very clear to us that we were actually being particularly in serious trouble. I was Director General, and at the time I had a very smart head of strategy, and a woman called Carolyn Ferger. And we sat down one day and discussed, what were we going to do about it? And we invented dripped up the idea that we believe that digital terrestrial television could be saved if it became a free to air service rather than a pay service. Our own research that we've done has shown that there were a lot of people who wanted a wider choice of television, but they didn't want to pay for it. They were what I call the pay television rejected, who tended to be older and they tended to be more middle class. In effect, they liked, as I say, the idea of having all the channels, they didn't have patience. Now, why that came about seems to change the British country, because it's like they're giving away boxes. By that time, about 50% of the British country had gone digital, who paid
direction, which I can be visible and hand you back. Whatever it's back, they hand you back the lab. I remember I told my BBC that we had to leave because I spent like one SVP I'd ever been involved in. There were a few things that we had to do in Channel 5, and I didn't want to pull up my 100% record. The pitch we gave to the program was pretty simple. Part of the reason I had to be able to fail was the walk through technology. We knew how to fix that. You had to broadcast fewer channels. The techies amongst you, there are only techies, and I'm certainly not a techie. It meant moving from 64 clams to 16 clams. Although I have to admit, I have no idea what a clam is. What it meant, I've never had to be technology, I mean, never, but you don't need much, I think it is, but what you need though is what it is to do. And therefore, what it meant was that instead of channels on each one, but it increased, by just doing that, you can increase the coverage. I mean, the number of homes is increased from 50% to 70% of homes. And it would mean that the technology would go back and be related to the story of the piece. The second reason ITV digital failed was that they went head-to-head with these guys. He had no intention of doing this, because he wasn't on what they said. Thirdly, ITV digital we got involved in buying expensive rights. We're losing this now, because ITV digital was a series of co-actors. They were owned by different broadcasts, and therefore that was their deal, as opposed to owning to CBC. And finally, ITV digital cost structure was too high. Our business would be much set up. We didn't need a call center to tell us, of course, because we weren't in the call center to tell us how to get it for a while, but we didn't need a call center to tell us what the pay is. And we didn't have to pay for the box. We knew that they might. Will be to persuade the consumer to buy the box in the same way they've always done it. That was the tip. You have to, in other words, if it didn't work, it wasn't the fault of a TV or a broadcaster. It was they took you back to the retailer or they took you back to the manufacturer. In other words, the box was just like the television. As we developed the B, let's come up with a few problems. We couldn't use all the available capacity, because we were talking about capacity of 10, 12 channels. We've actually invented that very much more, but we couldn't use all the capacity that ITV had given up, because at the BBC we couldn't start any more channels. And politically it was a problem. We were already being criticised for having stopped with six. After the failure of ITV, we found a great difficulty persuading other broadcasters to actually take up some of this space. Both ITV and Channel 4 turned us down. They said, you know, they didn't want extra fee for air channels. What they wanted was another way of getting their pay channels out there. Their pay channels were losing a lot of money. Their decision not to join us was to cost them dear. So once this thing had worked, to get one extra channel, because they're often fair channels on your paper, they are paying £10 million a year to buy the spectrum, a single channel. The spectrum they could have for free if they join the bid. We did get some help one day when Tony Morgan, the chief executive of the ECMIB at the time, phoned me up and said, I suppose you wouldn't let us in. He wanted to Sky News, plus a couple of others. And other Sky free channels onto things. I was keen to get free Sky free joiners. One, because we needed some paper from the spectrum. But I wanted them inside the proverbial tent, rather than criticizing us from the outside.
Although I've never really worked out why they wanted a top bill fee. Because to me it was pretty obvious that if it worked, it was always a challenge to their basic painting. It seems to be attached to the football league, but it's a challenge to their basic painting. And this is exactly what happened. I think history will show that it was a mistake to be driving. So in a two-man consortium with Crown Castle, who were the loan and distribution for the deficit, some sense carrying it, they built all the marks, and they laid out all the capital. So they were there. And with each idea of partnering supply and channel, we fixed the licenses at once. We moved very hard, which, as you know, is unusual for a public sector organisation. ITV still went bust in early 2002. We were awarded the license in July 2002, and we launched on the 30th of October 2002. So, literally, in a matter of months, we went from them going bust to us starting treaties. And in a few months later, it was already very clear that it was going to be a huge What was important before the launch was to persuade the box manufacturers that this was a real opportunity. And that with readers, they got to get copies to the shop for less than given that all the consumers were going to be asked to buy a box, we thought the price point was very important. And what's interesting today, many of you boxes can be bought in bins for £10. Although most of the sets now being sold in bins are distributed set so we don't have It was the BBC's marketing department who came up with the basic idea of how to sell it to the public. And the line was, more television, but no cost. In other words, you didn't have to try and cost you any more. The point of the box is that was more television and no contract. It's funny because I'm not going to tell you, but I didn't understand that there's plenty more contract here. Because, you know, it's like here we are, so we always pay for my paper. But the line no contract is incredibly important. In other words, if they buy your box for one or two, and get 30 extra channels. And crucially, all of the BBC's new television channels and all the BBC's radio channels, in the first 18 months, 4 million boxes sold. It was the fastest ever sold out. The new consumer connection for us. And remember, only 75% of the country actually achieved it. There was no point to find a box in an area that was used. Today, 9 million homes have got preview, and a total of 13 million DTT boxes on integrated television. So, we're then with 25 million homes, so, that's 40%. So that's the story of how preview happens. By chance. And it leads to a series of questions, which are, firstly, why should a publicly funded public school broadcaster like a BBC get involved in a question? Why should it come from? Secondly, why did it take off so far? Why did it go to question? Thirdly, and I think it's interesting, is DCT only an intermediate technology? Will it be replaced? Finally, what are the lessons for other countries in the region? Particularly if they're two of one going down all the time. So, what have we all got to do with the BBC? I'll give you one simple thing. In traditional five-channel homes, the BBC share of viewing in 2003 was the other start. It was 49%. All the viewing, not in those five-channel homes, 49% of the BBC channels. figure was 40 tons. And if you start reading payload, what it meant was that in PU home, people watch 8% less BBC programming. In Sky home, they watch 60% less. Given these statistics, this is very much in the BBC's interest. If people were going to go digital, that we're not going to go digital via preview than via GPR. But that wasn't the only reason. As I said, it was the policy of all the major political parties to switch off, to move to a position where they switch off the digital service, they switch off the animal service, and the whole of this go digital. And then the plan was, as it is, sell off the state. The government was sell off the state. And actually, sorry, this is an important part in the history of the development of the EU. Not only is the EU 5 years old next week, but actually also next week, after years of planning, the pushover process will actually start when a small part of the northwest of England will have the analog signal switched off. Even if we were weak enough. The plan in Britain, the whole of Britain, will be digital by 2012, and the analog signal will get switched off. Without preview, this policy would have been dead. It's as simple as that. We knew I had that DGT. Without DGT, this could have happened. And it sounds high-minded, but we believe that there was a possibility to save Fisher with DGT. A third reason for the BBC's involvement was that in the late 90s we started spending money on new television channels. And in August 2000, I announced that we were planning to start 4 more two children's channels. We were going to start BBC 3 and BBC 4. Now these channels were all free for the public, and they were all paid for by licensing. But in fact, what you could only really see if you were a paid television subscriber. You didn't pay for it. There was no free free market out there. And we were all of the view that given that everybody paid the rights, it didn't fit the 150 paid the rights, it was only right that within a reasonable amount of time, all of these services should be universally available. We calculated the fees to make that profit. If we hadn't developed the chances of Britain being able to turn off the animal kingdom were virtually nil. And in those circumstances, we had great difficulty in spending continually without the service. The fourth reason why fees was important to the BBC was defensive. Opponents of a license fee or a public funding argue quite regularly that once everyone should get taken, once it was available in every house, you could no longer, you didn't need and couldn't justify a license fee. If people, in those circumstances, if people wanted the BBC, they would choose to pay for it. And if they didn't, why should they pay for it? That's the argument you get politically by a lot of people. I think it's a superficial, factual argument, because sometimes one or two parties are adopting this. I think the rest of my argument against, the BBC is part of the glue that binds the United Kingdom together, and that it's important that it's available to everybody, even though it's so. Everybody can see. By developing freely, we made it very hard for any government to try to make people do that program. The more our view was, the more freely boxes out there, the harder it was going to be to switch to the BBC subscription.
continuation of the license is for a public function for another decade. And finally, from the BBC's perspective, I feared what could happen if British IB and Murdoch dominated the digital world. Murdoch has long striked the industry as a formidable enemy. He was sure that that proposition was good. That's why we got involved. Why did it take off so far? Well, that answer is not crucial. It's a good idea. It's a clear idea. It's a simple idea. And it's a result for its relationship. A lot of people wanted more jobs. They didn't want to pay. Even if you feel you offered exactly that. What do I have to file? Now, in terms of marketing, we have one great advantage. We could promote TV on the BBC. We could effectively advertise for free to millions of viewers and listeners. The fact that there was a new cheap way of receiving all the BBC subscriptions of those couldn't do that. But we could say there was a new way of receiving all the BBC subscriptions.
they were incredibly effective. And I think they increased. You have to affect it, you have to do it, but they would do it, you would like to get it, you would like to use it. So have a good idea. So have a good idea. It would have cost me the chances of success were pretty high from the start. But even we were shocked by the paper. And say, once we use your generating, it's only word of mouth. Our pre-launch model showed that we expected to have something like 5 million boxes out there. And as I say, the big number is 13 million. And that's why it worked. So the next question is, will it continue working? Or as Thomas said, you can be argued, it's only intermediate technology. The high definition technology becomes the norm of the country, the stream you get left behind. The problem is this, the spectrum of preview is limited, and an HDTV channel takes up 3 times as much spectrum as a single television. Currently, a lot of work is going on in Britain, so eventually, the new organisation, which is multiplexing on DTC, will hopefully reduce the leak some additional spectrum. On this basis alone, preview is likely to have 4 or 5. HDTV channels within 18 months, which is probably enough to make it competitive for some of our television. And then, of course, the government could allocate some of the spectrum that's freed up when we turn up download streams. Although I think it's more likely that we'll turn up the high speed ignore the funding for our television. So, if I'm not happy, question, what segments can our countries learn from preview? Well, clearly they have to take a very good question on what they've got. The lesson varies depending on factors like the state of the pay market, how wide the cable and satellite penetration, what is the state of multi-channel television, how successful are the existing public service broadcasters, and crucially, how keen is the government to see what they're involved in. But I see the lesson of preview is basically this. One, you've got to have something to sell. In the case of preview, that was the BBC's music and channel. Go on there. Two, you need a simple proposition. More television, no contract with that. You need to make sure the digital boxes are on sale at an attractive price. And they've got to be easy for the consumer to do. So once you start going to do different things, you need a skilled marketing team, you need either a big advertising budget or you need access to cheap or free advertising. Yeah, the latter it means the project has to be in use of at least one of the existing 3 large free-to-air television players. Finally, it needs an entrepreneurial champion. You know, I don't think these things can be done by the government and industry. In the case of TV, it just happens that there were a group of people from outside the BBC who were happy at a particular time, and their background wasn't in the BBC, at a particular time in history. When the idea of TV came up, there must have been 20 people just madly. And at the time, and most of those people were not from the traditional BBC project. At other times in the BBC history, it was just in Japan. Now, I'm part of being an expert on South African broadcasting. But in terms of where South Africa is today, the question I suppose you have to ask is, do you want DTT to drive penetration of digital sector properties because you want to switch off the animal business? And I think if you do that, you want to do something like you could for a few months, and you want to make it easy to see a few years ago. In Britain, they didn't start that one. I think it was a disaster. But by chance, they should have come. And as I say, one thing is very clear. Without preview, there would be no switch-off in 2012, certainly. And probably not. Today, we've been 80% of homes that have no issue. What it also allows you to do is overcome the problem of the second sex, because you know, a lot of sex, a lot of problems are digital. You could say this is a digital home, actually, you've got one issue of sex, there's two other sex, there's an analog. Here in Britain today, you buy a box of sex with the example other than you got. And that will even apply to 25% of the country. Yet, I think it's really easy to do because as soon as the hourly split signal is switched on, they will be able to do it. However, that puts up a dozen issues. When we morph into air channels available, it is inevitably a challenge for public service and commercial broadcasters alike. More channels in all homes don't automatically mean the wrong advertising goes around. What it does mean is you can certainly be thinking about audience fragmentation and therefore fewer people watching different computer web services. What this means for advertiser funding channels is there is less money available to be spent. These accounts, which is a challenge to indigenous and public service programs. In Britain, it's widely recognised in the industry, but less so yet by the politicians, that regulators will have significantly less power over commercial broadcasters after the decision. As a result, 2012 is an important date for broadcasting in the UK. The power government has had over commercial broadcasting over the past 15 years has been a clear question. With government allocation. After 2012, that spectrum will not be so valuable because there will be far more digital air channels available in the next economy. So after 2012 in Britain, regulators in Britain will not be in a position to instruct commercial broadcasts. Instead, they will have to encourage them or let them the talent will become important after 50 years when government and regulators have been able to get their way where you can improve. Of course, the BBC will be different. It is publicly funded. And like the SABC, it doesn't pay advertising. Now, in Britain, the television system is designed to reduce programming to be reflected in our society, our culture, our national vision. That was the point. It seems to me going forward that the challenge for government is how to sustain those values in an environment where digital television is available and therefore multi-channel television is available in every home. It's not that the public don't prefer to watch digital programs, they do, we all know that. It's just that per hour it's so much more expensive than buying programs from overseas. And digital television in every home changing the economics of individual channels, which are funded by advertising. And finally, then, that suggests this. If the South African government wants the SABC to remain a broadcaster which reflects your culture, your society, the scale it does now, I wonder whether it might not mean changing its funding base. So that in the future, less money comes from advertising and more from the public purse. Because what is interesting, I mean, the question, when you talk about this question, why does ITV spend twice as much on indigenous programming than any other commercial channel in Europe? I mean, not just because the BBC has always been so well funded for this competition. And I wonder whether actually, in the world of emergence, if you want to sustain SABC as a with the level of indigenous programming that we've got now, whether you might not have to find an additional funding out of it. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Greg. I think you've been very informative and interesting. And the
clause open. You know, after the question, you would like to break every gentleman with just to engage.
Yeah,
that's
the one
I'm
looking for.
Thank you.
so we knew quite well about what we're doing.
Thank you.
exposure they got to those programs and life insurance and BBC. I think it's I suspect it's really the amount of money we have to spend on that. Therefore you have to drive one of the existing code software. But it will be in there. And that was interesting about the point of view that they got to do that. Because it was commercial venture, they couldn't do it. If it's free to air, then there was an issue. Here, I don't know how you do that, but I'm sure if you virtually, I don't know what the relationship is going to be in the way that they're going to be but it's, in the commercial operator, it's quite difficult because you are undermining your own business by doing more. And therefore you've got off some of those hands. And since somehow the back to the race pressure negotiation, who will give you the most marketing and how will the tenant for you? You know, the initial, I remember being in ITV in Britain when Sky first started. And we shut our eyes and hoped it wasn't happening. And that's the so, I mean, it's very difficult, I mean, look, it's very difficult when suddenly the technology changes, and it's always going to come out on the side. What you really want to do is to go back to being what it used to be like. And I used to, I was a chief executive in my own church, and I could see how we go about the business, and I could go on about how it's changing, and you could see on my face, they basically said, you know it's changing, but could it not change till I retire? They've now embraced it. So there are now four free-to-air ITV channels on TV. Channel 4, three pay channels for free-to-air. And but it makes the competition for marketing, but not for advertising. They're all okay. And it means the amount of money you can spend on one channel changes. But they're a long way off. They're going to be in trouble anyway. So they have to. So they're attempting to keep their channels in the market. And they've now switched and bought into the TV contract. And they all, and that's my plan. And now, because it's a little perspective,
They have to always go to the portfolio committee to get approved and they want to accept it,
Well, politically, it was a very strange way, because politically, the government suddenly sort of switch off disappearing. Well,
government was able to. We never asked, because we dealt with regulators. Now, you have two different regulators. You have the BBC who are the government, who regulate the BBC, and you have the old independent television commission who regulate the night, who regulate the internet. And they were to allocate the license. And I always thought we went forward because we went forward, everybody else went forward with another plan for pay television. And yet the last one just done. And I think they recognise that the strength of the BBC must be to get us to work. So actually, as I say, it was, you know, it's all done in an incredible space. It's all done in 3 months. You know, the previous of the average time it takes, you know, I've been through life in places where you start 1 year and you've almost died before you come out the other end. You know, this was all done in a matter of months. And they were quite right. The IT team moved very fast and decided that we have to get up again fast. So, I never thought we would have a very good problem. As I said, if you were doing it for BBC today, we'd have a very good problem. We'd have to do market data analysis and 92 other things, which is why it's not a great job to say that it's not a good one. The strength of the BBC over generations is just that. You've been able to just do
that. As a politician, you were a candidate, especially you for that BBC. All that I would love to change it with the help of the people, but they don't mind. So I understand the argument that it's just. So I think you're totally correct when you say marketing digital TV doesn't make sense in this world of public health. It's a technical thing, but marketing more small channels and marketing key channels make sense. And my question, just an interesting take, is how do they market identity TV?
There's already been published something like a million and a half HD codes. Actually, most of those codes you get, a lot of them you see HD, you only get a lot of that light to pay extra for it, and they're not paying. So people are sitting there thinking they're getting HD codes, and they're not sure, because they're not paying the extra step out of the HD codes. What they bought was white screen, and, you know, more flat white screen, no laser tax. I think over the years, engineers have always exaggerated the picture. People will watch COVID on TV and they will check if the code is coming out. They will just go to the TV. I don't even market it on the The battle went on in Britain a decade earlier, which was over satellite cables and fixed crossing. There were two different services. One was, and looked like the ads in the tunnels and the papers were all about we can do better for fixed crossing. And actually, what we discovered was running two different satellites, or quite a different satellite dish. The other one was the time that we were first, only a switch out of interest. The government takes the money from the BBC, much of it, helps fund switch out of interest. In other words, older people, they will help.
Continuing this,
And that is the reason why I'm thinking why it's responsible for the VGT, which is only more than that. It's basically only the pool.
Yeah.
And then you see, I mean, that is really so much. But if you have that odd situation with Gabriel, I think the public generally, and if I might say so, MP, are up to the roof. If there is something happening, I'm not going to say it. We are most interested in the pool. It is the most interesting of all the subjects that we have. But it is in the hands of the research community, and then the regulator of course will have a lot of work. So we need to rewrite those rules. And our minister has had advisory bodies just that for the outcome. For years, all these years. And you see, all of you as you sit here, suddenly you have a bit of an idea of what a breach is being discussed, if anything. It's really not. And if we're going to sell a market,
there has been some dialogue that people are interested in seeing which seems to be a lot on the issue. But I think there's a lot of unresolved issues. I mean, the first thing I was still asking about the relationship of relationship and how that process is managed and what are the incentives that have been based off of. You've been started, there aren't really many boxes out there. You can have to go to analog energy for water functionality with respect to climate. Who manages all that sort of thing? Those are important questions. And then just taking their own proposition of how long it takes them to fix it before they're going to do that. That is switched off, they're switching off one little area. And we are talking about switching off in 2011. So that means she's only going to get the structure out of many, many boxes, which I don't think we can give you the specifications of the boxes yet. So there's a bit of dialogue, there's been a bit of dialogue. I don't think we've gone much further than that.
Then a
very financial argument for doing it.
So,
but that's what I said, when Crown Castle, who owns the BBC back, were very keen to come in with us. They really have all the money in the new country. They spent money from the BBC. And they suddenly found they had no money. Now, it costs most broadcasters have to spend quite a lot of money. Now, that period when you run both is expensive. Somehow Channel 4 managed to persuade the government that the BBC should pay for this.
I don't know how they did that. I wouldn't have done it if I
I think we need some new benefits.
Do you know how many kids you can work for? 150 million in financial, 100 million in marketing, and so we're into the starting of the company.
That part of work, I think it also includes the awareness and things like that. When it's designed by Digital UK, is Digital UK owned by BBC or is it independent body that part of work? Well, I think for the implement that have seen things like that.
It's quite
interesting.
It's
one of
them, there is an organization that's been set up called is the government, it's funded by the broadcasters.
learning the switch from one to the other.
Those people are doing it there.
The transmitters have been privatized, and the cost of it, therefore, which is actually interesting, my opinion, the money you got from private people, you get from private people, will pay for animal projects. But this was done earlier, and there's a lot of transmitters. This is the two which were privatized, and they are patients, the broadcasters are doing their own, all their own equipment, they're used to like the same. Government, well, that would be very good. As I said, they're even helping resistance artists to go digitally, being funded over the BBC Live, which I think is although no one has yet got any idea how to get action until you start doing it. You don't know. I suspect it's possible. But I suspect the number of kids who go around these matters and sort it out is quite high. And they have to do the same. Having said a lot of it, the interesting question is, what is it worth to you? I don't mind your paper. How much do they actually expect in the world? And the concept of daring enormity, when they sold the 3G license, everybody said it's great, we work with you. Then it went right down the way, but you probably wouldn't cover the cost of doing that. But now I think people think it's probably worth it again. Will the government make any of these freed up stuff available for HBCUs? Or will it sell it? And therefore, it's only going to be used for HBCUs if the government thinks it's worth it. And they won't, because it's worth more. But in the market, it will be worth more to the telco than it will be worth to the government. Which is why I think probably the beauty of the market is if it's going to be actually the public policy issues.
Some of the licenses of the BBC's holding in the funding of the public.
I hope they weren't just saying it while we're the first time we were the BBC owns all these
can you imagine on something there every couple of Monday and you've got the you would need that freedom. Looking back, it seems very easy. Looking at it seems very easy. I think there was a time that people don't know how to write in Canada. And usually they know people think about when the US needs to push to become condition. That's the first one. Secondly, it seems that we all have a place of same kind of coverage, and that's the last mile. Sometimes we walk in, we suffering from to penetrate up to 25%, and I can get my last penny, that around 10-13% would be the poor and people outside to make the citizens order. Broadcasting has been invented, shouldn't we use the other way around? Somehow this should be possible. Okay, you know, people normally wouldn't need it. They basically rely on if anybody satisfied, what is it? What is the plan? The last 10-15% will never be unless we serious intervention. Either by the state, subsidies, whatever. You know, the same way that we developed the new plan is also, isn't it another way that can do this and start off? I don't know if it doesn't seem to make sense, but start off basically looking upfront, identify the last mile.
I think each of the decisions will be done for the decision 50 years ago, but we'll try to make it universal. Now, I think when you take the decision 50 years ago, we've never got that. I don't think any government could have an equity forces and rules. I don't mean it's more efficient. I'm going my decision. I know you've had to go out 50 years ago, but you can't have it anymore. It's still not. So it's only a matter of how the fact gets my book. It's only a matter of how it is. And the police shop, which is another thing, is overly before. And exactly, you thought the last 5 years was incredibly strange. Look back. Now, the BBC always, the BBC, as I said earlier, I mean, the strength of the BBC is a difficult strength. You know, time is celebration. And the BBC is not to be universally available. I think it would be in the BBC. It's not going to be available to certain schools, if they're either paying for it or imposing students. But for the BBC, that's never been a problem. The BBC is on the standard of public sector. The BBC budget is £3 million. I don't know what the other people do. I mean, you know, when you go to America, you find a public service will go up to the America, you get like $400 million. And the BBC gets $3 billion. That's a lot of money. That's why I think we should do that. They don't get the right, they give them the
right.
But it was seen as a means of separating the BBC from political.
And that's why, you know, I don't think that I like it with you, because you're already pointing out that at your last conference and at the coming one, you're going to deal again with the public and public sector. What do you think of that? I don't think there's any kind of thing that you want. And the end, you keep me on the end of the
and you know, when you have the spiritual side of
That's where you move from the old position of reallocating due spectrum with the spectrum you got allocated, you made money, therefore we can demand it, to it's going to be hard to make money. And actually, there's a lot of people in the UK who think that post 2012, if the government wants ITV to spend a lot of money on indigenous programming or not, or minority programming,
regional television in Britain is quite large. There's very difficult ground coverage. I mean, it's the concentration of news. When you go back into the history, you built transmitters on the top of the hill. And historically, those hills are divided communities. It's something we sent the signal both ways and told them they were one unit. But there are very... The one place where you could say most of the regions in Britain are not local, they are regional. We respect very good community programs. There's more community radio.
Okay. I'd like to thank Greg for his most insightful story. I believe he's had a great contribution. Thank you for coming.
Lunch. We can probably start if you want to start lunch, but you know,